Have you ever had that moment?
Yeah.
You know, you're staring at your code, you've read it 100 times, it looks perfect.
Yeah.
It runs, no crashes, but the output is just completely wrong.
Oh, definitely. Been there many, many times.
It's like your program decided to speak a totally different language, and you're just sitting there nodding politely, completely lost.
Yeah, it's executing the instructions fine, just not the ones you thought you gave it somehow.
Well, today we're going to give you a kind of superpower, the ability to peer directly into the mind of your running program while it's actually running.
Sounds intriguing.
We're talking about essential debugging techniques. Specifically, we're going to dive deep into two really powerful tools, breakpoints and watch points.
The classics. But seriously usable.
Think of them as like your X-ray specs and a time stop button for your code.
That's a good way to put it. Our mission today really is to move beyond just fixing, typos or syntax stuff.
All right.
We want to show you how these tools let you truly understand what's happening inside your program. We'll demystify exactly how they let you pause the execution.
Freeze time.
Freeze time, yeah. Inspect variables, see how data is flowing or maybe not flowing in real time.
Okay.
And these techniques, they don't just help you squash those really annoying, elusive bugs. They genuinely deepen your understanding of how your software actually works.
So it's more than just fixing, it's learning.
Exactly. Think of it as a shortcut to really mastering your code, not just, writing it and hoping for the best.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit. When a program goes wrong, it's not always obvious why. We all know about syntax errors, right?
Sure, the easy ones, relatively speaking.
Yeah, the compiler or the interpreter usually yells at you, throws up some red squiggly lines, points right at a missing bracket or a typo. Annoying, but fixable.
Usually pretty clear what you did wrong there.
But then there are the sneaky ones, the ones that really test your patience.
Precisely. So beyond syntax errors, you run into execution errors, or sometimes called runtime errors.
Right? These are the ones that actually make the program crash while it's running. Think like the classic division by zero,
Yeah.
or maybe trying to access element 10 in an array that only has five elements. The program just stops dead.
Abruptly halts, yeah.
Yeah.
Usually with some kind of error message, but not always super helpful about the why.
Sometimes not. And then there are the logical errors or semantic errors.
Yeah.
And these honestly are often the most frustrating.
I think I know where you're going with this.
The code runs perfectly fine. It's grammatically correct, no crashes, nothing seems obviously wrong, but it just doesn't produce the intended result.
Right. It does something, just not what you designed it to do.
Exactly. Maybe you were calculating, say, a 10% discount, but you accidentally applied it to the tax instead of the subtotal.
Okay.
The final number looks plausible, maybe, but it's subtly wrong. And those can hide in plain sight for ages.
So these debugging techniques we're talking about, breakpoints and watch points, they're less about fixing typos or those obvious crashes.
Much less,
Yeah.
yeah. And more about figuring out the logic, making sure the program is doing what you actually meant.
That's exactly it. Logical errors, you typically only find them by running the program and really, really closely watching what it does, observing its behavior, looking at the data at key points.
So you need to get inside its head while it's running.
Pretty much. And that's where systematic debugging comes in. It's moving beyond just staring at the source code.
Okay, but before we jump straight into the high-tech tools in modern IDEs, it's probably worth remembering some of the, let's say, foundational ways people debugged.
Absolutely. Those traditional approaches are still incredibly useful, especially I find for understanding complex algorithms or tackling smaller, really tricky bits of logic.
You build your intuition, maybe.
They really do. It's like a learning arithmetic by hand before you just punch numbers into a calculator. You understand what's happening.
So what are we talking about here?
We're talking about things like dry runs and trace
Okay,
tables.
dry runs, that's basically just playing computer yourself, right?
Exactly. You, the programmer, you grab a pen and paper, or maybe a whiteboard, and you manually step through each line of your code.
And you keep track of the variables.
You track the variable values line by line, how they change. It's pretty informal, but it's super effective for short programs or specific functions, just to really grasp the flow and check if it should be doing what you think.
Like playing human CPU. I've definitely done that to understand, like a sorting algorithm or something.
Me too.
Yeah.
It really forces you to slow down and think about each step.
And a trace table. That sounds a bit more formal.
It is. A trace table is the more structured version of a dry run. You create a table, usually with columns for the line number, the condition being checked, and then each important variable,
Okay.
and you meticulously fill it in step by step, recording the value of each variable after each line executes.
Yeah, that sounds time consuming.
It can be, definitely, but it's incredibly precise. It can absolutely pinpoint the exact moment a variable's value goes off track from what you expected.
So you'd use that when the dry run isn't quite enough, or the logic is really convoluted.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine you've got some complex calculation, maybe nested loops, updating several variables. A trace table forces you to track everything systematically.
Like if you're calculating tiered pricing or something.
Perfect example. You could track the quantity, the price per unit, the discount level, the running total, line by line, see exactly where the calculation might be going wrong.
Okay, so both dry runs and trace tables are fundamental for understanding program flow. But yeah, I can see how they'd get really laborious for bigger programs.
They absolutely do. That's where the tools built into our development environments really shine.
Right. Which brings us to the really interesting stuff. Imagine this. You hit a magic pause button on your program while it's running. It just freezes right there, mid-execution. And you can peek inside at everything. What are the variables holding right now? What's in that list? Which function called
Well,
which function?
that sounds powerful.
That's basically what a breakpoint does. It's like stopping a movie mid-scene to examine every single detail on the screen.
It's a fantastic analogy. A breakpoint is a specific marker, a point you deliberately set in your source code.
You choose where.
You choose exactly where. And when the program, running in a special debug mode, hits that line, it just stops, temporarily halts execution.
Okay, and the big advantage here
The
is.
huge advantage is instead of scattering print statements all through your code,
Oh, yeah, print X is X, print inside loop.
right, which you then have to remember to take out later, and it makes your output messy.
Such a pain.
A breakpoint lets you avoid all that. You pause, and your IDE usually shows you a dedicated debugging window.
Oh, okay.
And in that window, you can inspect everything relevant, all the current variable values, the state of objects, the call stack,
Yeah.
all in a clean, organized way.
It's way more efficient
Yeah.
and gives you a much richer picture, right? Not just the one variable you thought to print.
Exactly. A holistic view of the program's state at that precise moment.
So, shifting from just guessing based on output to actually seeing the internal state, how do you, practically speaking, set one? Like, if I'm using a common IDE.
In most modern IDEs, things like Thani, VS Code, PyCharm, even IDLE, to some extent, it's usually incredibly simple.
Okay.
You often just click in the margin right next to the line number where you want the code to pause. A little red dot usually appears.
Gotcha. Simple click.
Yep. Then you run your program using the debug option, not just the normal run.
And when it hits that line.
It stops. And typically, like I said, a debug panel pops up. In Python environments, for example, you'll often see sections for locals and globals.
Ah, so variables just inside the current function and ones available everywhere.
Precisely, which is super useful for figuring out scope issues or how functions are affecting global variables or how parameters got passed in.
That makes sense.
So you pause, you examine the current values, variables, arrays, whatever, compare them to what you expected them to be.
Find the mismatch.
Hopefully. And then you have options. You can step over the current line to execute it and pause on the next. You can step into a function call to debug inside it. Or you can just hit continue or resume to let the program run until it hits the next breakpoint or finishes.
Okay, I can immediately see uses for this. Like, let's say you're filtering data, maybe checking a list of beach names against a user's required rating.
Good example.
You could set a breakpoint right before the code that displays the results.
Yep.
And when it pauses, you can literally look at the filtered list variable, see exactly which beach names made it through before anything gets printed.
Precisely. Does it contain only the 5-star beaches you asked for? Or did some 4-stars sneak in? You can verify assumptions right there.
Or check that parameters passed into a function actually hold the values you expect them to hold when the function starts.
Absolutely. It's a really targeted surgical approach to verify your program state at those critical points in the logic.
What about loops? Or recursion? Places where code runs many times. Printing inside those gets crazy fast.
Great point. Breakpoints are excellent there too. Instead of just a simple breakpoint, many debuggers let you set conditional breakpoints,
Conditional, meaning.
meaning the program only pauses at that line if a certain condition is true. For example, pause on this line inside the loop, but only when the loop counter is greater than 50.
Ah, so you can skip all the initial iterations you know are probably fine.
Exactly. Or pause only if an error flag variable suddenly becomes true. It saves you waiting through hundreds of irrelevant pauses, focuses you right on the problem area.
Okay, that's a massive leap in efficiency compared to print statements or even basic breakpoints. So breakpoints let you pause at a specific place in the code.
Correct. A line number.
What about watch points? You mentioned those earlier. How are they different? Do they also stop the program?
They do stop the program, yes. But a watch point takes the idea a pretty significant step further. It's a different philosophy.
Okay.
Instead of setting a pause on a specific line of code, you set a watch point on a specific piece of data,
yeah.
Usually a variable.
You watch a variable, not a line.
Exactly. And the program then pauses automatically whenever the value of that specific variable changes.
Whoa. Okay. So not at a fixed line, but anywhere that variable gets modified.
Anywhere. Or some systems let you configure it to pause if the variable reaches a specific value, like if counter hits 100 or if status becomes error.
That sounds incredibly powerful, especially for those bugs where a variable is changing, but you have no idea where or why.
That's precisely the sweet spot for watch points. Tracking down complex data manipulation issues or finding where a variable is getting, you know, unexpectedly overwritten by some completely different part of the program you didn't even suspect.
Like that running total example you mentioned. If the total isn't right at the end.
Perfect. You could set a watch point on total. Then every single time, anywhere in your code, that total variable's value is modified, the debugger would pause right on the line that caused the change.
So it leads you directly to the culprit line no matter where it's hiding.
That's the power. You don't need to guess where the change might be happening and set breakpoints everywhere. The watch point finds it for you.
Okay, that sounds almost too good to be true for certain kinds of bugs. So is there a catch?
Yeah.
Or limitations?
There is one rather significant catch, depending on your tools.
Ah, I thought so.
While the concept is super powerful, native support for watch points isn't universal across all programming environments.
Meaning,
for instance, the standard built-in Python IDLE environment does not natively support watch points.
Oh, okay. So if I'm just using basic IDLE, I can't just right-click a variable and say, watch this.
Unfortunately, no. In that environment, if you suspect a variable is changing unexpectedly, you'd have to fall back on more traditional methods.
Right.
Like simulating the effect of a watch point. You'd need to make educated guesses about where the variable might be changing, and then strategically place print statements, or maybe regular breakpoints, around those suspected locations to try and catch it in the act.
Back to print statements, huh? Or lots of breakpoints.
Or lots of breakpoints, yeah. It really underscores the value of using a more fully featured integrated development environment, an IDE.
Like Thani, you mentioned.
Yeah.
Or VS Code.
Exactly. Tools like Thani, VS Code, PyCharm, many others, they do often have built-in support for watch points or similar features, sometimes called data breakpoints or watch expressions.
So using a more advanced IDE gives you access to these more powerful debugging tools.
It really does. It streamlines the whole process, especially for those trickier data corruption bugs. It's about picking the right tool for the complexity of the job you're facing.
Okay, that makes sense. So zooming out a bit.
Yeah.
What does all this mean for the bigger picture, for software development generally? How do these debugging tools contribute to the overall quality, I guess, of the programs we build?
That's a really important question. It touches on two key concepts in software engineering, robustness and maintainability.
Right, I've heard those terms. Robustness is about handling errors gracefully, not crashing.
Exactly. A robust program is one that can cope well with unexpected situations or bad input. It doesn't just fall over if the user types text when a number was expected, for example.
Sure.
Debugging tools like breakpoints are fundamental to building robust software. They help you find and fix the underlying logical flaws that lead to crashes or incorrect behavior when unexpected things happen.
As so.
Well, you can use the debugger to specifically test your error handling. You can step through your input validation code, feed it bad data deliberately, and use breakpoints to see if it correctly identifies the bad data and handles it gracefully, maybe by asking the user again instead of just crashing.
Ah, so you use the debugger not just to fix bugs, but to proactively test the resilience of your code.
Precisely. Ensure it can handle the rough edges of the real world.
And maintainability. That's more about making the code easy to work with later on, for yourself or others.
That's exactly it. Code maintainability is crucial, especially in teams or for long-lived projects. Debugging is a core part of that iterative development cycle, you know, the design a bit, build a bit, test a bit idea. By systematically finding and fixing errors during development using these tools, you make each piece, each module, more reliable and predictable.
And when the code is reliable and predictable,
it becomes much, much easier for someone else, or even you, 6 months later when you've forgotten the details, to come back, understand it, modify it, or add new features without breaking everything.
Because you're not dealing with mysterious, buggy behavior. The foundations are solid.
Exactly. Good debugging leads to clearer, more reliable code. It reduces that black box mystery of how the program actually works. It helps ensure that knowledge about the system isn't lost if someone leaves the team.
So investing time in debugging properly with these tools pays off in the long run, with code that's easier to manage and less likely to cause headaches down the line.
Absolutely. It's about building quality in from the start. And these tools give you the visibility you need to do that effectively.
Wow. Okay, so we've really covered a lot of ground here. We went from the manual, brain-powered methods like dry runs and trace tables.
Foundational stuff.
Foundational, yeah. Great for building understanding, all the way to the precision tools like breakpoints for pausing at specific spots.
Surgical insight.
And the data tracking power of watch points for when you need to know when and where data changes.
Revealing the flow or the corruption.
It feels like these aren't just tools for fixing broken things. They're really instruments for truly understanding your code on a deeper level.
I think that's the key takeaway. They help you verify your assumptions, uncover that hidden logic that wasn't behaving as expected, and sometimes even point towards better ways to structure your code in the first place.
Yeah, seeing where things get complicated might make you refactor.
Definitely.
So the next time your program is acting weird, behaving unexpectedly, remember, you don't just have to stare at the code and guess. Or fill it with print statements.
There are better ways.
You have these tools, this power, really, to effectively stop time inside your program, inspect its innermost workings, and turn that moment of frustration.
We've all been there.
Into a moment of insight, into a profound understanding of what your software is actually doing.
So here's something to think about. How might actively using these debugging superpowers, breakpoints, watch points, the whole debugger mindset, change the way you approach all your programming challenges, not just when something's broken, but even when you're building something new? How can it make you a more confident, a more efficient, and ultimately a more insightful developer?